Book of Ruth, chapter number 3, and the book of Ruth, chapter number 3, verse number 1. You've been seated a while, let's stand together. By the way, I wasn't trying to build her up as a god. She's a sinner, just like me and you are. She sins every day. I see more of it than you do, and I was still able to say what I said with conviction. We all are sinners. We all fail, and we all fall short. And so please don't mistake what I said as trying to build her up as something she's not. She's just a sinner saved by grace, and that's what you are. And that's what I am. And the good and the glorious thing about that is that Jesus loves us all as sinners, just like we are. And he's wanting to make us better than what we are. He's wanting to complete us and perfect us and conform us into his image. And he that's begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Ain't you glad he's still working on you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's what church is for. What church is about. God is taking his word with his people, with a preacher, with singing, and he is on a consistent basis, he is chiseling off of us the things that don't look like his son, and he's adding and sculpting to us the things that we're lacking and missing that we need in order to be conformed into the image of his son. And when it's all said and done, we will be as he is and look as he is, for we shall be like him. Amen. Amen. And ain't that a glorious thought? You won't always be as bad as you are. You won't always look as bad as you do. You won't always sound as bad as you sound. And I'm not saying that derogatory. I'm sincere about that. Our frailties and our weaknesses. Ain't you glad that there's a brighter day coming, that we will shed those maladies and those weaknesses and those shortcomings, those sinful desires? Ain't you glad that one day heaven will fix it all? And that's a glorious thought to know I will not always be like this. There's coming a day that I will never have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. There's coming a day that I'll never have to ask forgiveness again and say, Lord, I failed you again. There's coming a day that you'll never have to do that again. And boy, that's wonderful. There's coming a day, and I used to hear preachers preach on this and say this, Brother Jackie, and say, there's coming a day that I'm going to receive a glorified body, and we won't need these old glasses, and start listing all the parts of the body that's falling apart. And boy, them preachers would say that with glee, and I mean with a pep in their step. Just being young, I thought, whoop-de-doo. Now, I've got a pep in my step when I say I'm going to get a glorified body. I'm gonna turn this old wore out one in for a brand new body, likened to his. And boy, that's a wonderful thought. Amen. All this in heaven too. Well, Ruth chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible said, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. For sake of time, I'm not going to go back and re-preach what I did this morning. If you wasn't here this morning, I encourage you. It'll be up on the website in a day or two, and you can go back and get the morning message. But we're preaching on the subject, how to get to where God is. How to get to where God is. And you say, well, what in the world does Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, what's that got to do with getting to where God is? Well, I hope in type to connect those dots. But everything about Ruth depended on how she could find out where Boaz was and get there. Naomi called Ruth aside and she said, he's winnowing the barley and he's over at the threshing floor, and I'm going to give you step by step what you need to do to get close to him, so that when you do get close to him, hopefully it will work out and he will fall in love with you and he will marry you and he will become the kinsman redeemer. And so with that being the picture, is the type is for us, is that everything that God's telling us and wanting us to do is trying to get us to come to the place where we can figure out all that we need to do so that we can get where God is. We need to draw close to God. The closer you and I get to God, the better we are. The further we get from God, the worse we are. I mean, that's just goes without saying, but it needs to be said. We have a tendency to drift from God. If you do nothing, it's like, I mean, it's just automatic. If you just stop and do nothing, you will drift from God. It's like standing in the ocean. You're down at the beach, and you all have heard this illustration before. Most of you have done this. If you get out there and you ride in the waves and you're staying in one spot, you think, and you ride a wave and ride another, and you think you're staying here and standing here and playing here. Give it about 30 minutes and look up, and your hotel will not be where you was. Your hotel will be way, way, way up the road or up the beach. And being a Christian is the same way. If you just stop reading your Bible and you just stop trying to live for the Lord, and you just stop praying, and you just stop trying, and you just give up and say, I'll just go where the current leads me. I promise you, the current of this world ain't going to lead you to the Lord. If you just stop and stand still, you will drift from the Lord. And so it takes effort. It takes a strategy. It takes a desire and a willingness to move toward God and get to where God is. And I'm a candidate for that. I don't know about you, but listen, I have lived long enough in this life at a distance from Him to where I've learned better, I cannot make it on my own. Listen, had Ruth not made it to Boaz, had Ruth and Naomi not made it to Boaz and that great union been made and that great marriage had happened, they were goners. They were going to be they were going to be left out to dry. They would have continued having to go around and as they come in, as the story says, and pick up the leftovers that the people left, the crops that were left over. They would have been beggars. In other words, they'd have been homeless. They would have been strangers and had nothing. But thank God, listen, they didn't end up that way because they found their way, they made their way, and they done what it took to get to Boaz. And if Ruth did that, so should we. You and me should do whatever it takes to get to where God is. That sounds so simple, does it not? I mean, it sounds like 2 + 2 = 4. Duh. Well, of course, preacher, I want to get close to God. Of course, if God's right there, of course, I want to be right there. I want to be where... if I asked everybody tonight, one-on-one, and went around, Brother Jackie, don't you want to be where God's at? You'd say yes. At Wayne, and so on, all the way through. I guarantee you, wouldn't one person in this whole church tonight, when asked the question, do you want to be where God is? Nobody would say, no, don't care anything about that. Our words is one thing. Our lips say one thing, but our life is something altogether different. It takes more than lip service to get to where God is. It takes more than just saying it and talking it and even really wanting it. We must put, listen, I want $1 million, but I don't expect to wake up in the morning, Brother Ned, and it be in my bank account. I even will say with my lips, I want $1 million, but me saying it and me even wanting it ain't going to make it happen. No more than me saying I want to be where God is and me wanting to be where God is going to make that happen. It takes us doing some things to get where God is.
Yes, sir.
Had Naomi left it to fate and just said, well, Ruth will figure it out for herself. And had Ruth just said, well, if it's God's will, I'll end up over there with Boaz. No, Naomi said, I'm not going to leave it to fate. Naomi said, I'm going to take the initiative and I'm going to tell her and instruct her and like any good mother should do, any good mother-in-law should do, any parent should do, any grandparent should do. We should be urging our children and our grandchildren and saying, listen, I've tried it that way. That way don't lead you to get closer to God. I've done it that way. That way won't get you to where God is. And so listen to me. And Ruth listened. And not only heard Naomi, but she hearkened to Naomi. And she took the instruction Naomi gave her. And the end result was Ruth ended up where Boaz was. And I want to encourage every one of us tonight, don't just want to be where God is. Be willing to do what it takes. Be willing to take the instruction. And you say, well, where do I get the instruction? God, well, God sent it right to you tonight. He's going to give you clear instructions of how to get where God is. When Ruth was going to the threshing floor, she wasn't going to get a blessing only. She had already received a blessing. In chapter 2, Boaz had already given her a blessing. In chapter 2, you remember, Boaz had already given her barley. That was a blessing. So she wasn't, in the context here, she wasn't going for a blessing. She was going for a bridegroom. She wasn't going for the field. She was going for the owner of the field. And so she wasn't going to take a little gleaning out of the field. She was going to take the man who owned the field. I want to deal with three things on how to find God. Number one, it's right there all in verse number 3. Three little phrases. Verse 3 said, this Naomi speaking to Ruth. She said, number 1, wash thyself therefore. There must be a freshly cleansing if you're going to get where God is. I said a fresh cleansing. In other words, last month's shower ain't going to do the trick. Last week's bath ain't going to suffice. As Laurel, I hope you're listening to your daddy preach. I'm going to tell on you right in front of God and everybody. Jenny will say, Laurel, go get in the bathtub. But Mama, Laurel, go get in the bathtub. But why? Mama, we don't have anything to do. We don't have anywhere to go. And Jenny will say, Laurel, go get in that bathtub. Well, it ain't. We don't have to go to church tonight. She thinks the only time she's got to take a bath is when she has to go to church. And what we're trying to get Laurel to understand is baths are needed more than Saturday nights and Tuesday nights. Baths are needed daily. There needs to be a fresh cleansing. And listen, if you're going to go out on a date, and you got a hot date and you want to impress and you want to score the deal and make a good impression with that first date, well, you're not going to say, well, I took a shower last week, that ought to do. No, that ain't how it works. You remember when y'all were dating? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I hope you took a bath. I hope you took a shower. I hope you didn't show up smelling. Where do you work?
Dollar General.
I hope you didn't show up smelling like Dollar General. Knocking on the door saying, Taylor, are you ready? And she's saying, not today. How about you go home and scrub a dub dub and get that Dollar General stench off you, then come back and see me? A little dab won't do. I mean, you need a fresh cleansing. And I've had Jenny and we're already married. We're not going on no date. I mean, we do occasionally. If we can toss four children one way or the other and get some time alone. So okay. But I've had her, not even, I'm talking about just to get in my bed that I paid for. In my room, in my bedroom, in my house. Walk in there and say, you ready for bed? Yeah, you ain't getting in this bed. Not till you get me be outside working and cutting grass and weed eating and blowing leaves and burning trees. And that's been the agenda lately. You ain't getting in this bed. Not till you get in that shower. You know what she realized? You too dirty to defile my bed. You stink too bad to smell up my sheets. You're not dragging your mud and your grit and your grime into where I lay my head, into my solace, into my one place where I can go and be alone, into my one place where I can go where there's no screaming children and there's no church people calling. The one place, I mean, that bedroom is a holy place. That bedroom is the one place I can go into and the whole world don't exist to me anymore. And it is to her. And when we get into our bedroom, and I'm not talking about anything, I'm talking about nothing dirty. I'm talking about just that's the one place that we go. It's a wholesome place. It's a heavenly place where we go. And she's not about to let me defile her bed, our bed, by bringing filth in it. So it ain't just for first dates. It ain't just for making an appearance and making it ain't just for that, but please hear me. We will do that. If we're going on a first date, I remember taking a girl out on a date. Y'all should have saw that face. I remember taking a girl named Jenny Rochester on a date, Jenny Jones on a date. And I cleaned up, I freshened up, I ironed my clothes. And boy, I was looking hot. I was looking good, smelling good. I had it all together. I mean, suave. Had to beat 14 women off of me just to get to it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. God goodness. Come on, y'all laugh. My point is, I made an impression. I hooked her, and I are sitting proof. That's my trophy. I got her to the boat, and in the boat, she's mine. She's mine. Now listen, if I do that for a woman, if you do that for a man, you ladies, y'all primp and put makeup on and fix your hair, spend hours making yourself look, that's good. I don't think y'all look like a hag. I think y'all to fix up and look your best. But if you'll do that for a man or for a woman, under heaven, God looks at us and he said, if you're going to come to where I am, you're not going to defile my holiness. You're not going to come in here dirty. You're not going to come in here and stink up my holiness. You're not going to come in and drag your sin. You're not going to come in filthy. Yeah. And if we're going to get to where God is, we're going to have to cleanse and freshly do it freshly. If God's going to bless us, we're going to have to keep some short accounts. and get clean from those worldly attitudes and those worldly actions. I say this a lot, but you don't have to have beer on your breath. You don't have to have something running through your veins for God to say, uh-uh, you're not coming in here. Bitterness was mentioned already. Bitterness is in this story here. Listen, bitterness stinks in the nostrils of God. Unforgiveness stinks in the nostrils. God will say, uh-uh-uh, you're not entering in here. You're not coming close to me if you got unforgiveness in your heart. Do you realize unforgiveness is just as wicked and stinks just as bad and is just as vile and grotesque and dirty to God as drinking? Pride, looking down at those who are not living like you are, stinks in the nostrils of God, and we cannot get where God is with those hidden sins, those unseen sins. God said, you're not coming unless you're willing to cleanse yourself of it. A little cleaning a day will keep you from cleaning a whole lot down the road. And any parent knows this. Any parent that tells your children, clean your room. I'll give you a personal illustration. When I was a child, my mama would say, clean your room. And I could have my room clean in about 5 minutes. Everything would get stashed and stuffed and crammed into my closet and under my bed. And I'd go run and say, Mama, I'm done. I'm going to play. And she'd say, oh, no, you're not. Not till I come and inspect. And she would come, and guess the first place she would look? In my closet and under my bed. And then I'd get the lecture, and she'd come in there and do it with me. And I would much rather me do it by myself than her come in there and tell me what I had to do, because she does it way more detailed than I ever would. And my point being, wouldn't it be way easier if we would just not let it all not let the dishes pile up to where you can't even run? I'll tell the girls, they'll just throw dishes in the sink and cereal bowls and this, and then they'll cook. After we go to bed at night, they'll cook stuff and try to come up with some crazy concoction and have stuff thrown everywhere and have dishes piled this high above the sink. And I'll wake up about 4 in the morning to go make coffee, and I can't even run the water and can't even get the coffee pot under the sink to run my coffee. And I say, if y'all don't leave me at least one side of the sink to where I can get my coffee pot under there, I'm going to ban you from eating for life. My point is, it's better to clean a little bit every day than to let it all pile up and pile up and pile up. And then you got such a mess, then you look at it and you say, oh, I can't deal with that. That's too much. That'd take forever. And then it just gets worse. And I know y'all don't do that, because they're the cleanest people God ever made. That's an inside joke. What did Dawson say? They's grit. That, yeah. That's funny. That's so funny. But I'm saying, listen, if you'll clean a little bit every day, it won't pile up. At home, in your room, in your car. If you'll just pick up a little bit of the trash every day, you won't live in a pigsty. But when you don't do that, it just gets worse and worse, and cakes and layers, and then it's to the point you got to have a deep clean. You got to have a whole day to clean what you could have cleaned in 5 minutes a day. You say, why are you telling us how to clean our cars and clean our houses and clean our rooms and clean our kitchens? Because I'm driving home the point that, listen, we need to keep short accounts with God. Amen. If we're going to get to where God is, it don't take all that much. It shouldn't take, hey, listen, it shouldn't take you all day and an all-night prayer meeting on Saturday to get close to God on Sunday. Because if we would just get to God every day and say, Lord, I'm dirty. My hands has got dirty. I've been walking in this world and my feet's dirty. Lord, my mind's dirty and my attitude's been filthy. I've been just popping off at everybody, smarting off and short fused. God, cleanse me of that. Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. Cleanse my hands today. Clean me and do that regularly. Fresh cleaning. Naomi said, Ruth, if you're going to go get close to Boaz, cleanse thyself. And I'm saying to us, if we are ever going to have a shot at getting close to God and getting where He is, it's going to take some daily cleaning. Fresh cleansing. Amen? I could say more, but I'm going to have to hurry. Oh, I could skip this part and make some of you real happy. I'll just say this. If anything's ever been wrong, it's still wrong. If anything was ever sin, it's still sin. Amen. God don't have a sliding chart and say, well, since it's 2022, I guess we can let that slide. No, if God ever said it was wrong, it's still wrong. Do you know that 50 years ago, a person, I know this for a fact, 50, 60 years ago, a woman was kicked out of her church for going to the dance. You ever heard, Brother Ned, I know you've heard, a dancing, what is it, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg? Yeah. Well, listen to me. It used to be unheard of for Christian people to go to dances. And I know, I've seen all the prom pictures. Are you listening? And I know some of you boys say, oh, well, that don't bother me. Them girls don't bother me dressing them dresses like that. Don't bother me. It bothered me seeing them on Facebook how some of you girls dress. And for some of you boys to be breast to breast and chest to chest and eyeball to eyeball with some of them girls, if that really don't bother you, you ain't sleeping in a tent with me. You ain't bunking with me. If that really don't bother you. Put some clothes on. Listen, I could deal with a ton of more standards that we've dropped over the years, but we wonder why we have meetings and revivals and there's no power. We invite our family and our family comes in lost and they leave just as lost as they came in. Could it be that we want people to come in and we want people to get close to God and get under the power of God and be saved by the God of heaven, but we ain't been willing to clean up some things? And God said, I'm not coming near, and you're not coming near to me. You ever wonder why our churches are powerless these days? People say, oh, I wish that was how it used to be. Oh, I remember the good old days. What changed? God didn't. God didn't change. And hey, you can, some of you so mad right now, you'd smack me if I let you. You can get over it. You can get over it. Listen, I ain't preaching nothing. That men of God, old men of God who you revered and respected didn't preach. Right. Amen. I'm simply saying God's holy. And what I preach tonight ain't even hard preaching. It's light preaching. We've just got so used to encouragement preaching that anything that would even dare challenge what we believe and challenge how we live and how we like to live bothers us. If we're ever going to get where God is, we're going to have to get to cleaning again. Number two. Naomi said, Ruth, if you're going to get to Boaz, you got to freshly be clean, be freshly cleansed. Number two, you got to frequently be consecrated. She said, look at verse 3 again. She said, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. That's the next words, and anoint thee. Now, you say, well, that's just saying the same thing. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. If it was saying the same thing, God wouldn't have used different words. He used different words for a reason. By the way, if you got sidetracked and off in a ditch and quit listening to me, some of you might as well be doing this right here right now because of the last 5 minutes of my preaching. Get over that. If you disagree, disagree, but don't miss the rest of the message just because something hair-lipped you. You say, but I went, and I was dressed up. Well, okay, deal with it. Deal with it. If you went and you was dressed properly and you was honoring God, then hallelujah. But don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me for preaching the Bible. The Bible still says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't be mad at me for preaching. You ought not listen to the world's music and dance with the world's crowd and live like the world and go around a bunch of drunks and dope addicts and expect your children to come home clean. Amen. Amen. Don't be mad at me about that. That is not out in left field. And I'm not saying that your child's a hellion if they did go. I'm saying it's a dangerous thing to do. And if our aim is to get them closer to God, that ain't the direction. The direction is to cleanse ourselves. Number two, the way is to frequently be consecrated. She said, and to anoint thee. That's a different word. Anoint means to set apart or sanctify. Could it be that over there on the Chester drawer, you see Naomi and Ruth having this conversation, and the whole point is to get Ruth over to Boaz, and I can just see Naomi saying to Ruth, you got to anoint yourself. You got to anoint yourself, not just cleanse yourself. Yes, you need to bathe, and yes, you need to cleanse yourself, but you need to anoint yourself. And I can just see sitting over there in the corner, sitting on the Chester drawer, there sets a bottle, just a little bottle, a small bottle called Midnight in Moab. And boy, when you pop the top to that thing, it smells like $1 million. That perfume, oh boy, it's the real deal. And Naomi's saying to Ruth, you need to anoint yourself and cover yourself in that perfume. And when you go in his presence, he's going to know that you're special. And he's going to know that you've anointed yourself and that you smell like $1 million. And he's going to want that what you have. And she said, Ruth, if you was going to just get a blessing, it might be enough just to take a shower and cleanse yourself. But you're not going you're going for a husband. And you better put some of this stuff on. You're not just going for a date. You're going for a husband. In other words, set yourself apart. Sanctify yourself. Put it on. Anoint yourself. Go and make him want you to be his wife. You don't want to just get close to him. You want to get close to him where you can stay close to him. Anoint yourself. Listen. How long has it been since you come to the house of God? And I mean come clean. That right there, everybody with me? That right there, if we would just come to church clean, and I ain't talking about bathed, that would be a blessing. I've smelled some of you. But I'm talking about our hearts. Brother Ned, do you know it's sad, but many times we have a week-long revival and it takes a Thursday or Friday night for most of the church to get their heart clean to where God could even begin to move. Much less just on a weekly basis, we come to church and we're so dirty, our hearts are so dirty, and we come in and expect just to come up and get close to God. It ain't going to happen. When's the last time you come to church and your heart, I mean, you took the time, just like you bathed and showered and put on deodorant and brushed your teeth. When's the last time? Hey, everybody look at me. When's the last time you spent more time cleansing your heart and making sure your heart was clean and your soul and your spirit was clean before God and spent more time focusing on getting that clean than you did showering, shaving, your hair, your perfume, and your attire, and your what you wear and how you look. When's the last time you spent more time on your spiritual cleanliness just to get ready for a church service? Tell the truth. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm not Jesus and I'm not your judge. You don't have to tell me. But that convicted me. When I thought about that, I said, my goodness, it'll take me probably 10, 15 minutes to take a shower. Maybe 5 or 10 minutes to shave if I do. Then I have to get my clothes ready, put my shoes on, brush my teeth. That's a good 30, 40 minutes to get ready. Have I prayed 30 or 40 minutes just to have my heart right to walk into the sanctuary of God? Have I been with the Lord and said, Lord, cleanse me and wash me and make sure I'm ready to get close to you? When's the last time you did that? What if you did that? I promise, if we would just not come into church happy-go-lucky, come in like we are, dragging the stench of the world, the attitudes that we come in with, the mindsets that we drag into church and expect God to bless us if He can. No wonder. No wonder. God don't do business like that. Listen, this ain't some chump down the road that we're going to have a meeting with. This is the God of heaven that we're wanting to get close to. Now listen, don't get me wrong. If you're lost, if you're a sinner, if you've never been saved, yes, come as you are. I mean, come as you are. I mean, stinking, beer on your breath, drug in your veins, come as you are. Come dressed how you are. Come looking like you are. Come smelling however you are. Come on, come on, come on. Come to Jesus now. But if you've been saved and you've tasted that the Lord, He's good. You and I owe it to the God of heaven, the holy, the thrice holy God of heaven, to cleanse ourselves and take the time to brush our spiritual teeth, clean your mouth out, to put on your spiritual deodorant, to put on your clothes, to dress up to go meet the God of heaven. Listen. How long has it been since you come to God's house? Clean. But before you come, you didn't just come clean, but you snuck off. I'm talking about anointing. That second part of advice was not just cleaning, but anoint thyself. Not just that you took the time to prepare to get clean, but you took some time and you snuck off away from your spouse, away from your husband or your wife. When's the last time you said, oh God, I want to get close to you today, and whether Jenny wants to or not, I'm going to sneak off down here to the thicket, and Lord, I'm going to spend some time anointing myself. I don't care if my children are going to or not. I'm going to get alone with you, Lord, and I want you to anoint me. God, I want you to pour yourself on me, and when I get in your presence, I want to be a sweet smelling savor. When I come into your presence, I want you, when I walk by, I want you to be able to smell me and say, what a savor, what a sweet smelling savor. Yes. Even praise to our God. It's a fragrance to God.
You're right.
That you can be if you'll anoint yourself on purpose. That's how you get close to God. That's how that was Naomi's instruction to Ruth.
Yes, sir.
If you want to get close to Him, cleanse yourself and anoint thyself. How long has it been since you got along with somewhere with God and anointing yourself to go meet God? I'm not talking about getting clean, but because we already dealt with that, but most of you ladies have some kind of perfume on. Look here. This is not mine. This is my wife's. But most of you ladies have some kind of perfume. And this is just some kind of body spray or something. I don't know what you call it. Deep Amber, Sugar Kisses, Chasing Sunsets, Victoria's Secret, Amber Romance. Works for me. Not on me. But she's been wearing this for how long? 22 years. Listen. See that? I can be in the mall and there'll be smells of pretzel, cigars, feet, body odor. and 1,000 other perfumes and colognes all intermingled. And I can be walking through there and catch that, just like an antenna goes up. And I'll say, I know that smell. I know that smell. That smell identifies her. I've been smelling it as long as we've been married. And listen, when you walk in through the doors and you get out of your car on a Sunday morning and you come into the house of God, can God say, he's here. She's here. What a smell. I smell her. She's been sanctified. She set herself apart. She spent time alone. And when she come in to offer praise, even thanksgiving to our God, a sacrifice of praise, that's a sweet smell and savor to God. And hey, when's the last time God smelled you because you was willing to anoint yourself and sanctify yourself to get close to Him? It worked for Boaz, and it'll work for God. Number three. Fully clothed. She said, and put thy raiment upon thee. I done hit the prom and made all y'all mad. So I'm not going to preach on standards no more tonight. But it is getting summertime, so keep your britches on and wear clothes. And clothes my children. Where you at, Ellie? Where you at? Where's Ellie? There you are. Wear clothes. Shorts. By the way, these leggings you ladies are wearing, that looks like whatever color they are spray painted on you, you need to put something over that. Amen. Amen. Fully clothed, look, and put thy raiment upon thee. Don't leave me. This is the best part of the whole message. Don't miss this. I done made some of y'all so mad again. Y'all like that again. Y'all heard about that, I can't remember which, one of the great preachers, he was preaching, maybe been J. Harold Smith, he was preaching, and this old man was sitting in the back, and his wife had prayed for him to get saved for like 50 years. And she begged and said, he's coming to preach. Please, please come and beg. And he finally said, okay, if you'll just shut up, I'll come. But I ain't listening to him. And sure enough, he sat and come under the tent and sat back there in the back and put his fingers in his ears like that the whole time the preacher was preaching. And that little old woman sat up there and prayed and said, oh God, he finally come. You finally got him here. Oh God, make something happen. Do something supernatural and make him hear. Make him be able to hear. And a little bitty old fly come and buzz around. And that man did like that. And he tried to fall. And that fly landed right on his nose. And he finally pulled one finger out. And he said, thou shalt be saved, before he could swat that fly. And he heard. And he got saved because a fly landed on his nose. That happened. So you can stick your fingers in your ears all you want. You can cut me off all you want. God has a way to make you hear. Amen. We almost done. I know what time it is. We almost done. Don't miss this part. She had the wrong kind of clothes on. What do you mean? Listen. Could it have been the last stop that Ruth made in Moab? Was that a graveyard at the burial of Chilion? There at the gravesite when she's burying her husband. Are you listening? Well, she couldn't go and get the attention of Boaz and her in grave clothes. Naomi said, put your clothes on. Listen, those ladies would dress themselves in mourning clothes and mourning garments at those Jewish funerals. And those garments were black garments made of goat skin and goat hair, and they would cause you to itch, and they were very uncomfortable, mourning garments. Could it be that while she was gleaning in the fields, she would have to stop, and boy, those garments that she had on, that's all she had, and they would itch, and she'd have to stop at gleaning in the field, and they would itch and stick her, those old black goat hairs poking and prodding her. And she became so uncomfortable with those clothes, but she wasn't about to go to a funeral. She was about to go to a wedding ceremony. And that's why Naomi said in verse 3, put thy raiment upon thee. She was going to marry her kinsman redeemer. Some of you have kids who was raised right, but now they are running wild in this world. And so there's parents in here, and you cry yourself to sleep, and you have your morning garments on, and it's so uncomfortable. You don't know where they are, or what they're doing, and you mourn. And can I say to you, listen, how about you take those clothes off, those morning clothes off, and get close to God, change your clothes. Put on the right apparel. That's the apparel that God gave you, the apparel of righteousness, and understand God's in control. No matter where that child is, He can reach them. You don't have to mourn yourself. You don't have to itch and be stuck by the briars of mourning clothes. You can wear the clothes that God give you, and He will comfort you, whether it's a child, whether it's a marriage that's going astray, and you're mourning over your marriage. God will comfort you. But you can't go to Him and be around Him wearing mourning clothes when He's given you the clothes you need to wear. You may want to worship God, but you got the wrong clothes on. There may be a husband or a wife here, and you never dreamed of getting a divorce. You didn't want one. You didn't wish for one. You didn't do anything to cause one. Nevertheless, it happened. And you signed on that day on the dotted line. And at that point, you put your mourning garments on. And you've been mourning that ever since. Listen to me. Just like Ruth, there's still a wedding dress in the closet. God has garments. God wants you to pull off those old mourning garments. Listen, the divorce is over and final. That chapter is over. Shred those clothes and put on the clothes God has issued you and move on for the glory of God. Listen, Ruth could have mourned over her dead husband the rest of her life. Nothing good would have ever come out of it. She could have cried herself to sleep the rest of her life and said, my life's over. And back in that day, you got to understand, when a woman's husband would die, he was the breadwinner. He was the one who kept the house going, and she was going to become a beggar and a pauper, and she had every reason to mourn. But God was telling her, and Naomi was instructing her, put on your clothes and go and get beside him, get before him. There is life after death. There is life after divorce. And take off those mourning clothes and put on the clothes God has for you, because He has something bigger and better awaiting you. But you will never get there until you leave the mourning ground. How you say it was a wedding garment she put on? Later in chapter 3, she said, bring me the veil. Read it. I can hear Naomi take Ruth by the hand and take her back to the back closet and show her a beautiful white wedding dress. And Ruth puts it on and says, this don't smell like barley and like the field. And it's so smooth. It's so silky. This is way more comfortable than those mourning garments. This is a wedding garment. This is a garment of celebration. There's nothing like trading your grave garments for grace garments. I can hear Ruth say, this don't itch like the grave clothes. It don't smell like the grave clothes. Naomi says, that's because that ain't grave clothes. That's grace clothes. And I just come by to tell you this evening, you can put your new clothes on. You don't have to spend the rest of your life wearing grave clothes. God has some grace garments pressed and waiting for you And if you want to get to God, come trade your old stinky, itchy grave clothes and exchange them for the grace clothes God has waiting for you to wear. And move on, for the best is yet to come. This was just the beginning of the rest of her life. She was going to become, I'm talking about a Moabitess woman, a cursed, twice cursed woman, ends up being the wife and the woman of the kinsman redeemer. God had a high and holy heavenly life for her to live, all because she was willing to take the advice of Naomi and simply wash herself, anoint herself, and change her raiment. If you want to get close to God, there's three simple little things you can do that's not out of your reach. You can cleanse yourself daily. You can get along with God and anoint yourself to be around God. And you can change your clothes and dress like a Christian before God. And I promise you that will attract Him, and you will get closer and be closer and be in the presence of God. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray You'd take it. Bless Your people. That one that's struggling, oh God, I pray You'd encourage them, Lord. God, to all of us, I pray You'd challenge and charge us, oh God, tonight, that we'd have a desire to get closer to You. God, that we would get close to You and not be satisfied or just settle with living at the distance we are right now. God, I'm not satisfied, Lord, being as far from You as I am. I want to be closer to You, Lord. And I pray You'd help every person in here. God, there may be somebody in here that's lost. They're nowhere near You and don't know how to get to You. I pray, God, this would be the day that You'd reveal to them the error of their ways and their lost condition. You'd save them by Your grace. Oh, God, You will redeem them. God, You will save and forgive them. And You'll do that for any saved person, Lord. You'll forgive and You'll cleanse and You'll restore fully and completely. And oh, God, help us, Lord, to draw nigh unto You. And You promise You'd draw nigh unto us. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. She's going to play one verse.